pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I want to remind everybody tonight that we're recording, as always, so if you've got questions, comments, keep that in mind.
We're going to start, if you don't mind. I know Megan, I feel bad because I was going to put you up first, but I'm just going to start with Dr. Quella and Mr. Nolan because they're here, and I know they've got busy schedules. So, Mr. Thode, the floor is yours.
I know the board has asked prior about, there was a big Newsday article came out about the football helmets in schools and how all the school districts in Suffolk County and Nassau County were dealing with those issues. So on the request of the Board of Education, I offered to come forward to talk about what we do here. But I have two people I've been working with a long time, I consider friends. If you recall, there was a youth forum that was taped by Dr. Anker that I presented it, and they presented it with me. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at it all. But they're just going to give you a brief update on a lot of that information that was in Newsday that's a little bit misleading, but also what we're doing to keep our kids safe here. Dr. Quell works with some of our students when they do have concussions, and Mr. Nolan's been working with me for 15 or so years and has been working with our football staff since I've been here as far as helmets, fitting helmets, keeping our inventory, making sure we're doing what we need to do to keep kids safe. So I'll start with Dr. Quell, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Give us a few minutes.
Yeah. How are you? You know, the Newsday article did strike a lot of people's chords, and everybody was, you know, in a hustle bustle talking about helmet types. And I know Dan will talk a little bit more about helmet types, but I think it's important to realize that running out to get new helmets is not necessarily the answer to everybody's question. You know, all due respect, helmets are great, and helmets are important, and helmets prevent from getting skull fractures, but I think the Newsday article was a little bit skewed in the fact that helmets and, you know, five-star helmets are not necessarily going to prevent anything when it comes to concussion. Maybe lessen the blow, but it's not going to make somebody concussion-proof. So actually, I don't know if anybody saw myself and Dr. Gray, who's the other director of the concussion management program at St. Charles. We actually responded to the Newsday article. I have a copy of it on my phone, but just like the quick things that we responded to was, of course, helmets are important. They have to be appropriately fit, which, you know, Dan does a great job and your staff does a great job of fitting the helmets. But it's important also to note that the things that help us from, the concussion standpoint is more about technique, tackling technique, coaching techniques, talking about decreasing the amount of hitting in football practices, the number of days that they're allowed to hit, whether a coach is allowed to hit every day or hit in limited practices. Talking about, education, I believe we've done education forums for your parents, but preseason education is, like, huge, because if people aren't looking out for concussions and people aren't aware, nobody's ever going to be able to treat the concussion if they're not, looking out for it. Neck training exercises, this is something that hasn't necessarily been focused on, and I think it's probably a fault of the practitioners. We talk about it a lot when a kid has an injury, but I think preseason and talking to lacrosse players, football players, soccer players about doing real good neck strengthening exercises, coaches really should be doing more time strengthening the neck, because if you decrease the amount of whiplash a kid has, it can really decrease the impact that a blow to the chest or to the head can really have to the patient's or to the athlete's brain. So again, I can give you hours and hours and hours of talks. Some people here probably have sat and listened to me talk about concussions for hours. But, Jeremy wanted me to talk really about what was the deal with this Newsday article. And it was a great article and brought a lot of people's, opened a lot of people's eyes. But it focused a lot on, everybody should have a five-star helmet and how are kids playing without a five-star helmet. It's really not about the five-star helmet. Spending $50,000 for your school district may not be feasible or really appropriate. If you have refurbished helmets that are appropriately fit, maybe spending more time doing neck training exercises, talking about what concussions are, having people like myself or somebody else from the concussion management world come in and really just talk to patients or athletes and their families about what concussions are and what to look out for, probably will save you so much more in the long run as far as, identifying these kids, making sure that they get appropriately treated, and then, getting them back on the field, which ultimately is obviously everybody's goal, is to make sure that they're back in school, back on the field in a safe manner. That's all.
Dr. Queller, just so you also know, Dr. Queller is treating my own daughter for a concussion that she received in a soccer game, school soccer game in my school district. Can you just talk a little bit about the perspective of football concussions and also other sport concussions? Because the
right
out there is that this is a football issue. It's more of a...
Right. So, I mean, concussions, when it relates to football, everybody thinks about that. Like, you know, somebody takes a big hit and they always expect, okay, he's playing football, he's got a concussion. But Jeremy's 100% right. I see concussions from all kinds of sports and non-sport related injuries as well. And it's really important that everybody kind of keep that in the back of their mind. If a teacher is teaching and a kid who's normally like spot on and paying attention in class is falling asleep, you know, maybe questioning, you know, picking up these concussions even if they're not related to sports. So there's the soccer, certainly soccer. Cheerleading is huge. I mean, I probably per capita, per head, no pun intended, see more cheerleaders than I do football players. It's the most dangerous sport when it comes to female athletes. I mean, I've seen everything. A kid running down the hallway and somebody opens their locker and the kid runs right into the locker, gets smashed in the head. Or a kid that, you know, is in an altercation or gets hit in the chest, never even hits their head, so nobody thinks they have an injury because they don't have a bump on their head, but their head was bobbling about and all of a sudden now they have headaches, dizziness, can't focus in class. And nobody, you know, if you don't pick up that ball, you know, you're risking that this kid, A, will have long-term consequences from this injury, B, not be treated, and C, have a disastrous consequence should they sustain another injury while they're still symptomatic.
So are you saying that there's the difference between a 5 and a 3, there's no noticeable safety difference from your perspective?
When it comes to concussions, I would tell you that the difference between and Dan can talk to this more specifically because he can tell you the details between the two helmets, but when it comes to concussions, if you have an appropriately fit helmet that has been refurbished and is not, like, completely falling to crap, it should... Pardon my language, that was totally inappropriate. It should protect the kid from skull fracture. You're not going to prevent anything from concussion perspective. Because, again, a concussion doesn't necessarily have to be even a blow to the head.
So apples to apples, based on the
from
skull.
A concussion perspective,
yes.
I would say... it's near apples to apples. I wouldn't say it's exactly the same, because if you have a helmet that is very outdated, a one-star helmet that maybe hasn't been refurbished, and there's rents in the, you know, in the plastic and whatnot, if you get hit hard enough and you split the helmet, then for sure you can definitely,
sure,
you know, you're going to have a much bigger
a
problem.
A properly refurbished 3 that's in good shape as compared to a properly refurbished 5 or a new 5 from a concussion perspective.
From a concussion perspective, I think it is equal.
Equal. Okay, and are we, Jeremy, you know, the kind of protocols that Dr. Call talked about with regard to, you know, days allowed between hitting and neck strengthening, are there best practices that are published? Are we training to those?
Yes. All coaches in all sports, phys ed teachers and nurses have to do a concussion online course. It's mm-hmm. a 2-year certification, so that's just an education process. And I would think the big issue, the great thing about this concussion awareness is obviously she's seeing tons and tons of concussions because parents are more aware, teachers are more aware, schools are more aware. We have a process in the high school, in all the schools, where teachers are aware when a kid is concussed and what the modifications to their educational environment is. We follow all the protocols, all the best practices.
So we do like neck strengthening and things like that?
Correct.
We have
they
hit
do.
Days and non-hit days in football?
Yes, correct. We are governed in Suffolk County very well in that regard. And in addition to that, and I don't know if Mrs. Stewart has forwarded this information to you yet, but I sat at a conference a little while ago, a week or two ago, with Mr. Cupinella, who is the father of the boy from St. Sean Wayne River who passed away in the football accident. And he is on a crusade to change even more the football environment on Long Island in New York. And he's got everybody's ear, and we're all listening. He spoke very passionately about his son and what he wants to see done differently. And some of those requests were, you know, football coaches watch film every Sunday night after a game on Saturday. And what he wants to do is have one of the coaches specifically watching the film for poor technique, or whatever, and note that. Instead of just watching the X's and O's and who's running what play and who the running back is and all that kind of stuff, this is something that he wants implemented. He wants the things implemented with the officials on the field, you know, that's through sexual evidence and so forth. long story short, he gave three or four different requests on this crusade that we do in a school district, having that person watching film, having a weekly review of technique. Because the reality is, and Dr. Quellen and Dan will say this as well, the reality is in a football game, if I'm a smaller guy running, having to run into a bigger guy, a kid is afraid and they duck their head. And they compromise their safety because they're afraid of that contact. So we have to continually strengthen the kids, which our coaching staff has been doing, and we have to educate them on proper technique. So long story short, again, all those requests by Mr. Cudinello, the next day I sent out to our football staff, this is what I want you to do. That day they did their film breakdown, they did that, they since then have been following these requests.
Just the other
it can't hurt.
What about the other sports that we do?
That is something, generally speaking, some of the other coaches in sports do use the weight room in particular for neck exercises, but this is a new area that we're going to continue.
It'd be great to be like the forefront in this area.
Sure.
To be the leading school in,
and I'm not saying she tells me to do.
Right. But to here's the training modules that we've got. We're teaching our coaches.
Less co-pays than my daughter's.
Yeah, I think that would be a very cool thing if we were really on the forefront of training and on safety and we're gonna compete and it's great to compete at the highest level, but
absolutely.
There's a lot of stuff in the pipeline here. I mean, obviously, concussion's been a hot topic, I mean, probably since 2009, and that's actually fortuitously when I started my practice and I came in like a bull and wanted to take over this concussion thing. There's a lot in the pipeline, stuff that we're going to be changing even, which we keep you guys abreast of everything as far as what we're changing, but things that will make treatment on Long Island better than anywhere else. And, you know, it's very cutting edge and very, you know, it's great that people ask to have us come talk and talk to you about what the new stuff is because, you know, we keep this in mind. You know, if you're interested, we will feed it to you. You know, neck training was something that I was a really big proponent of for years. People didn't used to think that had anything to do with it, and I just said, just do it. How does that hurt? And I'll tell you, the teams that are doing it anecdotally have a lot less injuries. They really do. It's not a coincidence that football players that you see on TV have necks that are this big. They strengthen their necks for a reason. I mean, it just makes for a better athlete. The other thing is core strengthening exercises. And, I mean, you know all those, like, 9th and 10th grade gangly kids that are playing sports that are like, you know, the breeze knocks them over. Core strengthening is huge. And I think, you know, you can only do so much in a practice, but if you spend 15 minutes doing core and neck strengthening rather than hitting a couple extra times, I can guarantee you it makes for a better athlete.
And I just saw this new research, actually, that takes far less for the brain. There's massive effects with far less
impact
than they thought.
It's really hard to say. So every person has a different threshold, and based on every injury that you have, your threshold can change. So I could, you know, get knocked over and smash my head, and you can get knocked over at the very same moment, have the same impact, and have a completely different outcome. And then the very next time I get hit, I can have less Newton force in my brain and have a horrible outcome. You could talk more about getting the vector forces and having those force plates and helmets. Great idea, but there is no number that says 40 Newtons of force is going to cause this person to have a concussion. It's individual to every single person, so it's impossible. Where those things, I think, come in mind, where there's things inside the helmet that say how many times somebody got hit and how hard they were hit, it actually will alert the staff that, okay, this kid got hit 10 times in practice. Maybe that kid shouldn't hit the rest of the week. Maybe that kid shouldn't even be playing in the football game. Who knows? But, you know, we don't have the information that X number of hits is bad or X number of force is bad, because we all know that one hit could be the one, or 100 hits and the kid could be fine. So it's a very, you know, it's a tough topic, because you can't just say, you know, it's not like a broken arm, like, it's definitely broken, I see it on x-ray. There's no point that we could say, okay, that's it, that's exactly it. You peed on a piece of paper, litmus paper, and there it is. It just isn't there. It's very clinical, it's very, A, subjective, B, clinical, but it's also very diverse. Everybody responds differently. Like, for example, I'm going to call for your daughter. So Alex only has a headache.
HIPAA.
It's okay. You said it. I'm treating her. You said I'm treating her, so I can say it. All she has is a headache, but the very same hint could have given his other daughter dizziness, nausea, vomiting, you know, balance instability. So it's very variable.
And just, again, cutting edge what you told me, which I was the first time I learned this, one of the prescriptions she gave my daughter was riboflavin, magnesium, and fish oil. So every night she's got to do that because that helps her recover from her specific concussion. I don't know if you do that for all kids, but
not everybody.
But that's something new that she told us. This is something that I'm doing with my patients. It's new, so these things are forever changing quickly, and we're following her lead.
How about hydration? Hydration, is that a big part of it?
Hydration is important for everything when it comes to athletics, but absolutely, because a lot of dehydration symptoms can be confused with concussion symptoms. So, A, if you're dehydrated, you're at more risk of injury, period. But also, when you're recovering from an injury and you're not staying hydrated, it's very confusing. It's very difficult to decide, is this coming from dehydration? Is it coming from injury? So I always have, you know, I always tell my kids, every athlete that I see, you should be peeing clear. Make sure you're peeing clear. As long as you're peeing clear, then I don't have to talk about hydration for you.
Any other questions to Dr. Bowler?
Thank you very much.
Mr. Nolan, could you come up?
Sure.
So Mr. Nolan will talk a little bit about those the different rated helmets and the Virginia Tech study and what that means and what it doesn't mean. And then we'll go on to Megan.
First, I want to talk about what we do here, and we recondition your helmets every year. All the schools in New York recondition their helmets every year. And what we do is we bring the helmets in, every helmet, we catalog them. We strip the helmet down to nothing. All the parts come out, all the hardware comes off, the face mask comes off. We sandblast the helmet, take all the paint off. Everything's cleaned out, every part is checked to make sure it's working. Okay, the helmet's checked about by 10 different people as it goes down the line, checking for cracks or any deformities in the shell. The helmets are then put back together, all new hardware is put in. We put the parts back in, make sure everything's perfect, okay? Get by a player getting a brand new helmet and a player getting a reconditioning helmet. That helmet is certified to the standard of the brand new helmet of that model. So there's no safety standard that the kid's getting slighted by getting a reconditioned helmet. Okay? The helmet's coming back as factory standards. Okay? There's a lot of talk about this Virginia Tech helmet study. And it was good in some ways and it was bad in some ways. All of a sudden, the Virginia Tech study was probably one of the most talked about studies out there. And one of the big things was they only study the helmet from the eyebrows up. You drew a line around your head. Okay, so they'll hit it here. There's a head form with sensors in it. They'll hit it here, they'll hit it here, they'll hit it here. And that's the test they do on the helmets, okay? How much force it can take. They didn't take into account of how well different helmets fit, the ease of fitting, how much protection there is in the jawline, how much protection there is in the back of the head, okay? How well the helmet stays on the head. There's four different helmet companies right now, and everyone has a different standard of how to fit a helmet, okay? You guys do a good job here. I've been working with Coach Leskowitz since he was at William Floyd for years. He does a good job. I wouldn't give Virginia Tech the be-all, end-all. Okay? And my big thing, Dr. Quello stated it before, the helmet isn't fitting properly, it's not going to do what it is. I mean, I teach it. We have YouTube videos. We have it on our catalog. Online has videos of fitting. It's a pretty easy thing to do. You'll get a kid every once in a while. I'll get a phone call. I get a lot of phone calls. I got two kids here. Their heads are this. I just can't do it. I come out and fit the helmet, make sure it is. I try to educate a lot with the coaches on that. Anytime I'm on the field, I also like the coaches to check the helmets once a week. We had talked about that. make sure all the screws are working, make sure the helmet's holding air, make sure it's the same as it was the first day of practice. I like coaches to do that.
Our helmets. Currently, we have all the rated 4 helmets for our high school, so that's all in place anyway. That wasn't something that changed when we had this article come out. We had those helmets. Every year, our helmets go for reconditioning. They're NOXI approved, which is the safety standard. They also have a lifespan. So how?
10 years. 10 years is the lifespan.
Once 10 years is up, whether that helmet is perfect or not, we cannot use it anymore. He has this whole inventory on sheets with the dates and the times they're reconditioned, and that comes back to us in the district.
What are we replacing with? When a helmet is 10 years old and it doesn't come back, what are we buying new?
We have been buying what the Virginia Tech rated the 4, which is the Revolution. That was the state-of-the-art helmet. How long ago did we start that out?
You've been buying that and the Speed, which is a 5-star helmet, our Revolution Speed helmet.
So we were ahead of this doing that, and as ones were rejected or aged out, we'd buy the new ones. Obviously, the newer ones the kids like. They look nicer, they're, whatever else, but they happen to be the 4s anyway. So we don't have an issue with that, but it was more understanding that the helmet's not going to prevent the concussion. The helmet's going to protect the head from breaking open. That's what really the helmet's for.
This is our newest helmet, and if I went into your shed in the back, most of the properties in the helmet that you bought 2 years ago have a lot of the same properties as this. What we're trying now to do now with helmets is disperse force a little more. Okay. A little more. We're trying to do a lot more, but there's not a helmet we're ever going to make that's going to stop concussions from happening. Okay? But you'll see, in your Revolution helmets, we went down the jawline. Studies showed us that a lot of concussions are coming from side hits. You have that. The helmet's inflatable in 5 areas. You have that. So there's a lot of bells and whistles that we're working on to disperse force, but it still goes down to the same guts of the helmet.
What about our middle school? Are they using the
4-star
also?
There's what we have in middle school.
At the middle school, we tend to go with a middle school rated helmet. The Virginia Tech, which is a lighter face mask, and it's a lighter plastic. Otherwise, Virginia Tech did not study. They just started studying high school level varsity college helmets. I tend to like using the lighter helmets. On middle school kids, you get a middle school kid that's this big and a middle school kid that's my size. But the middle school helmet has not been rated, although it has all the same guts. It just has a little lighter face mask, and the plastics are different.
And coincidentally, just so you know, and I apologize, I can get this information to Mr. Stewart, we have had a handful of concussions this year at the football high school level with the 4-star rated helmet. And I do not believe, but don't hold me to this, I don't believe we had one that I'm aware of, and I could be wrong, at the middle school level. So, and obviously some of that has to do with speed, strength, that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, do you see a lot of middle school concussions or more high school?
I see a lot of every concussion. Gotcha, but I haven't seen any of yours.
Okay, there you go.
How about middle school soccer for the girls and the guys with concussions? Are they less contact too?
I mean, they run slower, they're lighter weight, but they still, those kids, I tend to have more like middle schoolers that are just sloppy players, not so much running into each other kind of players. I see a lot of kids that are just, clumsy and have injury. They may not even have been involved in the play. So it's just a different being. I mean, you guys are educators, it's a different being altogether. They're not just little high schoolers. So. But I probably see, in the middle school age, I probably see equal among, football is not necessarily the 60% that it is in high school. It's more equal across all of the sports because they haven't played these sports before. They don't really, they don't have, body awareness and that kind of stuff. So basketball is a big one in middle school because they're, little people trying to shoot into a big hoop and they get push over onto a hardwood floor. That's a big one for me in the middle school year.
What do you think about the sensors? Is that something that we think is going to, like Oyster Bay, I've had some. Do we think that that's something that more schools are going to start moving towards? Or like,
I have not. We were made aware of that, educated on that. He actually, you said you were the one that got those sensors, right?
Yes.
But I haven't heard if
this, people the sensors will not tell you if you have a concussion. Okay? It will not. We firmly believe in 5 or 6 years old, helmets will have a sensor at some point. And what the sensor does, it goes under the pads and it goes all through the helmet. Okay. Now we have a system that's used in major colleges, I think about 15 or 20, I'm not sure of the number. Major colleges use it for research. It's called our HIT system. And it has sent little buttons all throughout the helmet. And they've studied over 8 million hits off this system. So when we took this, so we made an affordable system that Oyster Bay is using. And what it is we put all the players in the computer, their size, their position, their number. And if they take a hit over a certain threshold, which is a threshold per position, which we set with these hits, hey, look at Thode. He took a hit today. Let's talk to him. Let's check him out. And what it also does is it records the hits. 56 took 4 hits on Tuesday and 3 on Saturday. He's not doing it right, because as Dr. Puddle took, there's a lot of things in technique. Everybody's teaching new techniques. Take the head out of the game. So this is, we're telling this an extra set of eyes on the field. If a kid took a hit, we're not taking him out. He doesn't have to come out unless I look at him, talk to him, do your protocol. I don't know the protocol, and he's not following it too well. He's out of there. But maybe we're going to keep an eye on him, okay? And you need a trainer there and a coach that knows what he's doing when assessing. But it's just an extra set of eyes, and it's a recording, and it could be used as a teaching device. As well,
but I haven't heard yet anybody else. I don't know if you have, Dan. I will tell you that football is different than when I played. Even in high school, you used to kind of have like a half day on Monday, and you'd hit full Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you'd have kind of a rest day on Friday. Most schools, Dan could also confirm this, Monday is usually just a film day, maybe some conditioning. Tuesday and Thursday are kind of a modified day. Maybe they hit full on Wednesday, and usually that's modified as well. So those are the things that we just do in general just to save kids from hits and injuries and extra hits and things like that. And it's across the board. It's happening in the pros. It's happening in colleges and so on.
Jerry, how close are we, Section 11, from backing away from kickoffs and punt returns?
It seems like that's on the radar right now.
It seems like that's where the big hits come, yeah. The concussions. Like when I coached Seahawks from the little guys, it's like,
the only time that isn't really done is in like scrimmages, games from
the beginning of the year. I was watching a pro meet last week on Sunday, and there was a new kid on Seattle. I'm not sure if he wants the Seattle game, and they were even talking about getting away from it in the pros.
Yeah,
there's no discussion of that. It seems like that's
nothing yet, but like I said, this Mr. Cutinella addressed the entire Nassau and Suffolk, and his suggestions on things that could help are in the pipeline. Like Dr. Wells says, things are in the pipeline. So there are going to be significant changes over the years. But again, my big concern with this whole thing is everything's focusing on football, and it's not just football. Like Dr. Wells, it's in every sport. And I'm telling you, soccer is probably one of the worst. She's already said cheerleading, but soccer, the amount of concussions that are happening in soccer, and it has a lot to do, you know, with technique. It has to do with core strength and neck strength and all those types of things. So I agree with Josh, and that's something I can pursue. Is really what we should do is focus on that piece, because we can be a cutting edge with that. And I'll work with Dr. Quello. I'm sure she'd be happy to help us out.
Great. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Really
thank
appreciate
you.
Your time.
And if you're wondering who's going to lead us into the Long Island Championship this Saturday, Miss Ricky's here to speak, not about that, but let me congratulate her entire team for being Suffolk County champions. Pretty proud of you. The floor is yours.
Okay. Like you said, my name is Megan. Megan Rickey. I'm the senior class president of the class of 2016. And tonight my main focus is where we're going to have graduation. Because we have, 161 students that are in the class now. So we'll be making history as the biggest class to ever graduate Santa Marches. So we inevitably have outgrown the auditorium, per se, and something needs to be altered. So basically, I want to start off with the known events, which is like a big thing. It's all the events that are going on in June that we know of right now that are on the school calendar. There are regions testing in the south and middle gym, so that's when you have the south gyms closed by the wall, and then when you put down the curtain, it's on the left side of the curtain. So the last day of that testing is Tuesday, June 21st, which is 4 days before graduation. Then we have the moving up ceremony for the elementary school, which is June 20th, which is 5 days before graduation. Then we have the moving up ceremony for middle school, which is June 22nd, 3 days before graduation. Pre-prom, which is June 23rd. And then we have our graduation rehearsals, which there's three of those. There's the last week of May, June 10th, and then June 23rd. So it's before pre-prom. And then we have senior night, June 7th, which is, that's out of the way. That's just another event. So tonight I'm not here to sway, basically, but we're going through each thing. And so we had the auditorium first. So we broke up everything into facts, pros, and cons. So the facts are everything that we have to handle. Like, there's no way around it. Like, that's what we have to do. So for auditorium, if we're going to do it there, the stage will have to be expanded because we have too many kids. So therefore, because of that, the dignitaries, you guys, would end up down in the pit with the rest of the parents in the auditorium seats. There would be tickets sold, and because of our population, instead of four tickets per family, it's going to go down to probably three. The band would have to be minimized or completely taken out because we have the extra people down there. We can't mark off like the first row anymore, so we have to put the seats down there. So basically, the cost we'd have to be to expand the stage. So it'd be about $500 to $1,000 in wood and overtime to like build the stage and everything like that. The man hours, which is overtime, would be the change of stage over from the moving up ceremonies who always do it in the auditorium. That's where they're going to stay. So I have to add onto the stage. And then, so pros, we have it's air conditioning, which is important. Like we have been doing the overflow people, we have a place to put them, we have the LGI. We have classrooms, and they have the library as well, which they opened up. There's already enough chairs between all three schools. They're able to get enough chairs on stage, so we don't have to rent chairs and things like that, and the chairs are already in place for the audience, basically. And then to go, like, an emotional side, it is our tradition. We've always done it in the auditorium. It's close, intimate. We're a small school, so it's good to keep it close and packed. And the biggest thing is, it's already set up. If it's done, the stage is there, we just have to add the extra parts, but we don't need to, we're not moving stuff from places, it's already set up from the other ceremonies. So next, we go to the stadium field, the big football field. So the facts for this is, we would need a backup system. So we need that triple setup because with the football field, bad weather. We're planning for it. It's going to happen, probably. You're going to go. So you have to have the gym set up. We can't put people in the auditorium because we didn't sell tickets. So we can't do that. And then you have to have the auditorium set up because we have the moving up ceremony already going on. We need a stage because we can't move that stage because the kids wouldn't go on stage anymore. We need transport for individuals to get down to the field. It is down the big hill. So you can't have grandma and grandpa walking all the way down to the field. Rental chairs, because you're going to have chairs for everyone else. We're going to need more chairs to fill the football field. More porta potties, because people aren't going to be walking into the school to use the bathroom. And usually they have a huge tent to cover the stage, so therefore the dignitaries, no matter which way the sun can see, like everyone is visible on stage. And then parking expansion, because since we aren't selling tickets, more people can come. And we're already overflowing, so that's going further past, like, into the baseball field and stuff. So the pros are few, but everybody likes the outside. But honestly, it's a beautiful day, so it's a beautiful ceremony, and that's basically what people look for. There's no tickets, so there's ample amount of seating, and we have the bleachers. People can bring chairs down the sides. And then the cons, we are building a stage from scratch, so there's no already fixed thing. Weather is bad, we have to get everyone inside. So then what are you going to do with, we had the transport to get them down, but now you're asking them to sit in the rain while we get them back up. Approaching bad weather gives us a tough call, like Mr. Caswell, a tough call. What do? Do we cancel it and just go right inside, or do we try it out and then see if it's going to pour? Sound system outside is terrible, so that's not good. we estimated the cost for renting chairs to be about $1,000. Stage construction, if we can't rent one, that's always an option. We have to do the research for that. It would be about $2,000 for material and labor to build the stage. To rent a sound system, it's anywhere from $500 to $1,000. And then porta potties is about $350, and we rent them for basically like a, we have to see if it's a day period or we can do it within like a week. Transport, do we rent golf carts? Because we have two golf carts currently. The trainers use one, which as athletes know, is not really good for people to be on it because the tires are messed up. And then parking has expanded so much, we need security all over the place to make sure people are parking in the right spot and things like that. And that's our other golf cart. Safety issues. So if someone's down at the field, say grandma and grandpa get too hot, or someone has a heat stroke, getting someone down to the field, an ambulance or someone that, if anyone, EMT, like anyone, getting down to the field is a problem. Again, parking just keeps going on the baseball field, keeps going down the softball field, they can put them down the hill, but they're on our property. And then you lose that sense of intimacy. So we're on the big football field, we're just like another old, normal, big school. And basically the announcements and the band, the quality of sound would be lost because we're outside, so it's just going to carry wherever it's going to carry. And then the big problem is with the rehearsal, like I said, we have three. So if you're going to view it outside, we have to rehearse outside. So therefore, it either requires three takedowns or it requires a build it one time, and then you have security sit on it, which is that's just more people factored in. Then you worry about any vandalism or any weather. If the weather gets bad and it rains that night, like, it's up there. Like, we can't do anything about it. So, and then if you want to take it down, we are already short on storage, so there's nowhere to fit a whole entire stage. So the last one is the gym. So the facts for the gym is we need a sound system. We need a new stage because we can't take it from the auditorium. It is a gym scenery, but that's what you're going to get. And, so pros, it's air conditioned just like the auditorium, so therefore there's no heat problems. No backup seating is needed because we can have the bleachers fit plenty of people, and then we can put chairs on the back of the graduates. And then we're talking about people who can't sit in chairs or maybe sit on bleachers, can't get up the bleachers. They can sit in front, and then if they feel uncomfortable, they can go in the auditorium. We can have it streamed live in there because those seats are comfortable, they're soft, they're still watching the graduation, but it's on their terms that they're not getting to watch it live. The gym, like I said, it is a gym, but it's a blank canvas too, so we're able to decorate it however we want. It's our personalized thing. There's less teardowns, so if we need to tear it down, it's all inside. We don't need to tear it down every single time. There are bathrooms in the school, so those will be open and people can use them. No transportation issues, it's the same thing as them coming into the auditorium for any event, concerts, anything. We could have a band, which is very important. As people traditionally stop and start graduation, and it gives, I know personally, like, I'm in band, so it gives me my senior performance. When we're back inside, we regain that intimacy that we lost if we were to go outside. And then the sound quality, it'll echo throughout the gym, so it'd be much better than us outside. And we also have the sound system works. So So check that. We're good. The cons, we would need to run chairs because eventually the overflow of people, we want to put them behind the graduates. That's the overflow. We have a red carpet for prom. It's probably weathered down and all that stuff. So if anything, the cost would be to get a new carpet, which that can be done. We'd have to build a stage from scratch again. At most, we need like a black backdrop just because we don't want to see the white walls beyond the graduates or anything like that, which is just a black curtain. And we need to find storage for the stage if we decide to keep it. So the part with that is, I talked to Mr. Roy, and I don't have like a lot of details from him, but he has two construction classes, and he said if I can get him the wood, his kids will build the stage. So that covers, that brings it into a more community kind of thing. It brings it to an educational purpose. And then with the tear down, if we decide at the end we don't have storage as a kind of a gift back, we tear it apart, and they can use the wood for woodshop or anything like that. So there it becomes the educational purpose. They put something in, and they're going to get something back.
Do we know how many people can be in the gym? What's the capacity of that room? So would it be, you say no tickets, but does that mean we can have 700 people in there?
Yeah, it's 1,000 something. Posted.
So we have 160 and you have 5 per, you're still good.
Yeah.
5 or 6 yeah. per kid.
Yep.
To go over rehearsal again, the first rehearsal is just a lineup in the gym. So that stage needs to be set up as if we were going outside. We need to practice outside. The second one being the auditorium because we are able to go through the walk up, the walk down, everything like that. And then the third one, the stage would be set up for. So our decision is if we want the gym, talking to everyone else. I gave you guys visuals just to like spit it out, all this information on you. You can see the difference in the pros and cons list, like what would work. And basically, as Kaz always says, like we present it at freshman orientation when we run it, that we want to leave our mark. And this is our way. We're starting a whole entire new tradition. So this is our way of doing that. As for the cost of wood and things like that, I'm working very hard to get emails out to community and more outside, like Home Depot and stuff, to get us wood, like to donate if we need it, and then we can work that out. That's basically it. So, as your scout said, a picture is worth 1,000 words, so this is what we want. So basically, like I said, you have the bleachers, which like this is totally possible, like this is not far reaching or anything. So you have the red carpet, it just so happens it's red, it's a good picture. So you have the graduates. Last year, it'll be alphabetical, so it goes nice and quick and easy. So basically, you see them lined up, but if we were to look at the first row, you'd have the first row stand up, line up along the wall, and then you have the first person come across, walk over the stage, get their diploma, walk down the middle, photo shoot, walk right by the row, sit back down. So go through the one row. Next row stands up. And like this is rehearsed where we're high school. Hopefully we can figure out how like one row ends, the next one can stand up and come up. But everything's done. It's quick, and it does give you that kind of like, oh, it is like a more bigger school feeling, like the way of doing it like that. But we're still inside. We're still able to do it. And then all the dignitaries stay on stage, and then so basically that stage right there, we don't need to go that expand like that far out. But that's basically the goal. Like, that's what we would have to build. And then you have the bleachers, and then we can have bleachers as well behind, because that's where we do the pep rally, we fit them behind. And then you see you have the adults sitting in the back, the parents, we can fill in chairs there, that's when the rental chairs come in. And then the band, they don't have one right there, but the band, and it could be, like, in the corner. So, like, the band can be off to the side, that's not a problem. That's just a fun tradition. That's basically it. And thanks for listening to everything. I swayed at the end, but the point was everything's listed and there's plenty of more details to get, but we've had several meetings. And so I'm willing to, whatever you guys need.
So I think part of this initially was to, you know, have a bit of a project and a learning experience to see what you wanted, but also to have you go through and explain why. And I just, you know,
yeah.
We'll talk about this as time goes by, but I think that
what you've done in laying out the facts, laying out the pros and cons, looking into the cost, figuring out, you know, if you can get wood donated, is phenomenal. This is what I think, in the first instance, we were really looking for. Let us know what you want. The one question I have is, you say, what we want, did you guys do a survey, or did you take...
Well, I know I've spoke with the officers, and I spoke with a lot of kids. A lot of kids, they go, oh, we want to go outside. And, like, even I was like that at first, like, that'd be so cool, like, we have outside, it's all nice. But looking at it, it's just not practical, and that's when, like, the whole 17-year-old kind of thing sets in, and I explain that to them. And it was like, even Avery was, he's a senior, we were like, he was looking at my notes, being devil's advocate, asking me all these questions. And I was like, I see that. They agreed that it's just going to cost so much more money and so much more work. It's work for everyone. It's work for us. We have to go down to the field, like things like that. And it's just not feasible.
I think you put a lot of thought into this. I think that's really, but really shows.
Cut every little corner.
Just in case. It's excellent. And thinking of the older people, it's not that comfortable sitting on bleachers for older people, so we may want to reserve chairs for them, so we'll put all those things. But you really thought of so many things, but hours, you know, an hour or two sitting on those bleachers for without backs and things.
You can put them in front, you have the people in the back, like you said, like if we can rent chairs for them, and then obviously the chairs, it's like we're sitting in a chair. And if it is too low or they're not comfortable, they always have the option. We can stream it in the auditorium, just as we stream it in the LGI.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Okay, just one more thing. I'm sorry it's not on here. We have a buddy bench up here. Board of Education is, I don't know who's here. Is Shauna here? I know Kim, you're here.
Yeah.
If you can just, I believe that we're looking to donate before we put it, we're going to put it outside today, but this was something that was discussed, I think, about a year ago, and here it is. I believe it was some of an art class was involved and some leadership groups and so on. So here is the buddy bench, but the board has to approve the...
It has already, so that was done.
It was approved?
Yeah. It's been approved.
Carol, we're good?
So Shauna Martin, the deceptive president, wanted, under the leadership of Rose Seidelman, the art club actually painted it. And so it is finally done, and kudos to Rose Heidelman and the kids in the class for doing such a beautiful job. And so what Mrs. Barton would really love to see is we'll pick a day in the very near future, hopefully by next week, to have the students who participated in the painting of it and have a nice big unveil. And the purpose of the buddy bench is to be available during recess, so that if I feel like I don't have friends right now who are playing with me, the kids will know if there's someone sitting on the buddy bench, a superstar citizen would go over and say, hey, why don't you come and play with us?
Good things to come from the buddy bench.
Special
thanks to SEPTA and... Great. That's great. Thank you very much for SEPTA. Questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda? Anybody have any questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda?
Can you just explain number 13? What's a salary move?
Salary moves when... Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to just... What number was it, by the way?
13.
Yeah, 13. When a teacher goes and gets additional education classes at certain credits, number, I think, 15 and number 30, so I'm a bachelor's, plus 15 credits, I move across horizontally along the pay scale.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on tonight's agenda? Great. Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting on October 21st, 2015.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee leave of absence from her position.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee to return to service.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following name change.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2015-2016 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for 2015-2016. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established costs contained in said contracts, and authorizes the board, the president, to sign said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following salary moves on the salary schedule effective September 1, 2015.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries unanimously. So it's effective September 1 because the credits were earned prior to
correct.
That period
and
of time.
And we always have to wait for official transcripts before we can put them on.
Right. So as always, on with regard to the donations, we want to thank the PTA for the donation that we're going to accept tonight and the Red Devil Pride Club for the donation we're going to accept tonight. Everybody works very hard for these, and we know that, and it's very much appreciated.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education accepts the following donations. $167 donation from the Red Devil Pride Club for registration fees for the St. Mary's cross-country teams to attend the cross-country invitationals and adjust the budget accordingly. And $228 from the PTA to the cross-country team for the Jim Smith Invitational and adjust the budget accordingly.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. That brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight, which is questions and comments from the community on items not on the agenda.
Hi, my name is Marcus Babzine. So 2 meetings ago, we had a motion to grant tenure to an individual and then immediately accept the resignation for that individual. And that struck me as a little bit odd. Why does somebody who's leaving need tenure? And I thought maybe I hadn't seen enough of this, or what does the cost-benefit analysis for this particular move look like? So that individual isn't here, so I was hoping you could clarify that and discuss the motivation and specifically what is the benefit to the students and what, if anything, is the cost to the district.
Yeah, no cost to the district, Marcus. The individual who was Ms. Asp was up for tenure as of November. And so her tenure date had come up. She had served this several years here in the district, and it was her time for me to recommend her for tenure or not to recommend her. I did recommend her for a tenure. I did it enthusiastically. We all love Ms. Esp. At the same time, Ms. Esp interviewed, and I'm going to call it a promotion for lack of a better word. She received an offer from the Patchogue Bedford School District as a director of, I believe it was PPS, remember
yes,
that? So the director of PPS, which is a district-wide position from Patchogue, which she accepted. So it almost just happened at the same time, we were sad to see Ms. Esp go. So at the same time you watched, which was seemed kind of odd right at the time, right. They had an opening at that exact time that she was to receive her tenure. And so I recommended her tenure, and at the same time she accepted the job at Patchogue Bedford.
Okay, so there's no practical consequences, it just happened to be coincidence.
Yeah, and then tomorrow we're doing our first round of interviews. We're going to be interviewing 12 candidates. So we talked about cost. I didn't know if you were kind of going in that direction. Tomorrow we are beginning with, I think, about 17 or 18 committee members who are going to be interviewing 12 possible candidates, the first round, for that position.
And in education tenure, just when you're, like, we're looking at resumes of people who are applying, if they leave every place they're at 2 or 3 years, then you know that they were given tenure, and then that's a red flag for when you're looking at other people. So we didn't want to send Ms. S. off with a red flag on her record that, oh, maybe she wasn't ready for tenure. So it's that it was more for her,
right,
and her employment record of granting tenure, so that when she, in her future, if she goes anywhere else and applies, nobody says, oh, look, something not quite right there, sure, they didn't grant them tenure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the community on matters not on the agenda tonight? Great. The next Board of Education meeting will be on November 19th at 7:30 here in the district office. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing proposed pending or current litigation, collective bargaining negotiations under the Taylor Law, CMPA, and other matters, the disclosure of which would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion?
Motion.
Second? All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for coming tonight.